This is Checkup Chat with Evergreen Health. I'm Evo Terra, and I'm joined today by Dr. Ehsan Akhtar, a board-certified internal medicine and gastroenterology physician, to help answer a single question. Why are so many young adults getting diagnosed with colorectal cancer? Dr. Akhtar, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start at the beginning. What do you think is causing such a sharp rise in colorectal cancer diagnoses amongst young people today?
That's a difficult question, actually. The short answer is that we don't know, unfortunately. What we do know is that there definitely is a rise in colon cancer in younger people. So about 2% increase per year since the 1990s we've been tracking. There have been a lot of studies showing possible associations. So some of those things are, quote unquote, Western diet. So the rise of ultra-processed foods, increase in red meat intake, sweetened beverages. Those have all been linked with increased rates in colorectal cancer screening. Also, quote unquote, sedentary lifestyle. So there have been some studies showing that with the increase in exercise activity, there's less risk of getting colon cancer. Same thing with lack of vitamin D in the general population. Lower vitamin D levels have been associated with higher rates of colorectal cancer too.
Got it. So many different possible causes, and it's complex like most things, as you said. Well, let's talk about some symptoms. What are the symptoms people should be looking for that might indicate some sort of a colorectal issue?
That's also a little bit of a difficult question. A lot of times people don't have symptoms until the actual tumor presents. So I should probably back up just slightly and talk about screening. Generally, a polyp is kind of like a growth that we have in the colon. By the age 45 or 50, a person has like a 30% chance of having one of these polyps. They usually don't cause any symptoms. And the thought is that in 5 to 10 years, they could turn into cancer. The whole point of colonoscopies is to look to see if you have these polyps and take them out. That being said, if the tumor develops, probably the number one symptom is rectal bleeding that people will notice. Sometimes if it's a very small amount of stool in the blood, you won't be able to see it, but you may be diagnosed with anemia. So you'll be tired. And then the doctor will check your blood count and say that it's low. That's another thing. And then the last thing is weight loss. These tumors tend to consume a lot of energy. A lot of times we'll see cancer patients like extremely underweight. It's kind of for the same reason. So unexplained weight loss is a worrisome symptom.
Well, that was two difficult questions to answer. I'm going to give you a very easy one this time. What's the best way to help prevent colorectal cancer? Kidding, obviously. That's not an easy question, I understand.
Yeah, getting screened appropriately is probably most important. In terms of things that you can do on your own, it would probably be the opposite of the things we talked about, like in the first question. So trying to have a very healthy diet, eating mostly whole foods, increasing activity and exercise. Fiber intake is super important. So there was a study showing that like per 10 grams increase fiber in your diet, you have like 10% less risk of getting colorectal cancer. And then, spending time outside and getting adequate vitamin D exposure.
All good things we should all be doing anyhow. So you mentioned screening a moment ago. So how often should people be getting screened? And what's the new age when we'll start to get our first screening?
Yes. Recently, the age got changed, according to the National Cancer Guidelines, from age 50 to about age 45. And that was also because of this rise that we're seeing of colon cancer in younger people. So you get screened at age 45 for the average adult, and then every 10 years after that. If you have a family history of colon cancer or people in your family with polyps, then we usually start at age 40 or 10 years before whenever that person was diagnosed. So we think it takes 10 years for a polyp to become colon cancer. So let's say you have a brother who was diagnosed with colon cancer at 41, then you would start screening at 31.
Okay, we're talking a lot about cancer and preventing cancer, but let's talk about treatments for colorectal cancer. What are they, and how's the survival rate?
The cornerstone of treatment for colorectal cancer is surgery, where they just remove the tumor. In the higher stages, like a stage 3 or 4, sometimes illness, sometimes people will get chemotherapy or in rectal cancer, chemoradiation. The survival rates tend to be excellent as far as like cancer goes. So for stage 1 disease, it'll be like higher than 90%. Stage 2 disease, like higher than 70%. For all comers, like the 5-year survival for colorectal cancer can be greater than 60, 65%. Just to contrast that, the other cancer I see a lot of is pancreas cancer. the five-year survival for pancreas cancer is something like 13%.
That is really tough. And as we're mentioning right here, the earlier you detect these polyps, if that's what's going on inside of you, the greater your chance of not developing any cancer, which we definitely do not want to. But let's talk about remission, right? Colorectal cancer has happened. Are there any lingering side effects if they are, in fact, going into remission?
Yeah. In my experience with patients, I don't tend to see actually too many side effects, which is great. What some people do mention is generally the treatment is getting part of your colon removed and then it gets reattached together. So having a shortened colon sometimes can lead to like a change in bowel habits. Some people might say that they go like 2 to 3 times per day compared to like 1 time per day. So that's probably the most common thing I hear. The only caveat or the area where people do sometimes have issues is rectal cancer. So like the rectal area and the muscles there are all important for like controlling when we have our bowel movements or sensing that we need to have a bowel movement. So people who have a surgery for rectal cancer specifically, sometimes they develop something called low anterior resection syndrome. And just what that means is sometimes they will have trouble regulating their bowel movements, or they'll have incontinence or constipation or increased sensitivity. So that's kind of the only one where we see kind of lasting side effects sometimes. The last thing I should probably mention is if you have an advanced age and you get chemotherapy, I'm not an oncologist, so I'm not as good at speaking at this, but you can have some side effects, long-term side effects from chemotherapy.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I'll end by asking you, what did we miss? Anything else you would like to add?
I think we've covered pretty much everything. If I had to sum up the two things I would say, one is to pay attention to your symptoms. A lot of people who were younger and were diagnosed with colorectal cancer had something in their chart of history about like hemorrhoids or anal fissure or something like that. And their symptoms would be attributed to that for years before they ended up getting a colonoscopy and getting diagnosed. So if you have a worrisome symptom, I'd encourage you, instead of just like watching it for a long time, to talk to your doctor about it. And then the second thing would just be getting your screening done on time. And then also spreading the word. So if you have an advanced polyp, you know, at age 45 when you're first checked, then letting your younger brother or sister know that they should get screened a little bit earlier, something like that.
Yeah, and I would add, spread the word that colonoscopies are pretty easy as a patient who's been through several of them. I mean, that's not nearly as bad as all my friends made it out to be. So, but that's what I think, at least. So, Dr. Akhtar, thank you very much for all the information today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
And that wraps up this episode of Checkup Chat with Evergreen Health. Head on over to the website at evergreenhealth.com for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other Evergreen Health podcasts. For health tips and updates, follow us on your social channels. I'm Evo Terra. This has been Checkup Chat with Evergreen Health. Thanks for watching.